We packed the lunch and two bottles of wine in the rucksack, and Bill put it on. I carried the rod case and the landing net slung over my back. We started up the road and then went across a meadow and found a path that crossed the fields and went toward the woods on the slope of the first hill. We walked across the fields on the sandy path. The fields were rolling and grassy, and the grass was short from the sheep grazing. The cattle were up in the hills. We heard their bells in the woods. The path crossed a stream on a foot log. The log was surfaced off, and there was a sapling bent across for a rail. In the flat pool beside the stream, tadpoles spotted the sand. We went up a steep bank and across the rolling fields. Looking back, we saw Burghete, white houses and red roofs, and the white road with a truck going along it and the dust rising. Beyond the fields, we crossed another faster-flowing stream. A sandy road led down to the ford and beyond into the woods. The path crossed the stream on another footlog below the ford and joined the road, and we went into the woods. It was a beech wood, and the trees were very old. Their roots bulked above the ground, and the branches were twisted. We walked on the road between the thick trunks of the old beeches, and the sunlight came through the leaves in light patches on the grass. The trees were big, and the foliage was thick, but it was not gloomy. There was no undergrowth, only the smooth grass, very green and fresh, and the big gray trees well spaced, as though it were a park. "This is country," Bill said. The road went up a hill, and we got into thick woods, and the road kept on climbing. Sometimes it dipped down but rose again steeply. All the time we heard the cattle in the woods. Finally, the road came out on top of the hills. We were on the top of the height of land that was the highest part of the range of wooded hills we had seen from Burghete. There were wild strawberries growing on the sunny side of the ridge, in a little clearing in the trees. Ahead, the road came out of the forest and went along the shoulder of the ridge of hills. The hills ahead were not wooded, and there were great fields of yellow gorse. Way off, we saw the steep bluffs, dark with trees and jutting with gray stone, that marked the course of the Irati River. "We have to follow this road along the ridge, cross these hills, go through the woods on the far hills, and come down to the Irati Valley," I pointed out to Bill.
"That's a hell of a hike."
"It's too far to go and fish and come back the same day comfortably."
"Comfortably, that's a nice word. We'll have to go like hell to get there and back and have any fishing at all."
It was a long walk, and the country was very fine. But we were tired when we came down the steep road that led out of the wooded hills into the valley of the Rio de la Fabrica. The road came out from the shadow of the woods into the hot sun. Ahead was a river valley. Beyond the river was a steep hill. There was a field of buckwheat on the hill. We saw a white house under some trees on the hillside. It was very hot, and we stopped under some trees beside a dam that crossed the river. Bill put the pack against one of the trees, and we jointed up the rods, put on the reels, tied on leaders, and got ready to fish.
"You're sure this thing has trout in it?" Bill asked.
"It's full of them."
"I'm going to fish a fly. You got any McGinnies?"
"There's some in there."
"You going to fish bait?"
"Yeah, I'm going to fish the dam here."
"Well, I'll take the fly book then."
He tied on a fly.
"Where'd I better go, up or down?"
"Down is the best. There are plenty up above, too." Bill went down the bank.
"Take a worm can." "No, I don't want one. If they won't take a fly, I'll just flick it around."